Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Face off the Blues zone. The Blues top group out here for almost a minute now. Byron scores with a shot by Peyton Krebs. Slap pass to Krebs at the far post, and it's 1-0 Buffalo.
Buffalo looking to find a way to work it. They do for a 3-on-2 scores. Tage Thompson with a shot from the slot. Near circle, down low, Quinn. Bumper scores! Zucker with a quick catch and release shot. And the Sabres with the power play goal, their second of the game, make it 3-2. Chance here on the counter rush with good numbers. Yuri Kulik scores! What a goal! Yuri Kulik! He snuck that one in where there wasn't a lot of room. The Buffalo Sabres have won three in a row and take a bow. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen.
Welcome in. First show in forever and last one of 2024. Are you ready for it, Marty? Oh my gosh, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Blue Jays hat. I'm wearing my Quebec sweatshirt. I'm like just,
go
I have to
Buffalo.
Do laundry. Came
way
back from
local.
The road, right? I came
you.
Back from the road with you yesterday. I didn't get a lot of laundry done, so I grabbed whatever I could get.
Wow. No,
I'm getting a haircut this afternoon, though, starting the new year in a really, really good way with a clean.
Since you went to college for this, can you post on social what people would like to see in the form of a Marty haircut tonight?
Oh, my gosh, please. That may get a little
designs.
Out of hand, but yeah.
Designs. I want artistic designs, my friend.
Should I have like 2024 in one side and 2025 on the other side? Like, you know, like just, you know, like shaved in the side of my head?
Uh-huh. Keep going.
Do it all. I don't even want to think about it. It's not going to happen. You know,
it's really
no, I'm
easy.
Not that
you
person.
Get rid of
I'm
it the next
guy.
Day and start fresh. Like
I
it's
did
not a big
get
deal.
When I was a kid, I did get like the steps on the side of the ears, you know, like all you used to get the razor to just come in and the trimmer, like do those steps. Like Patrick Kane had them at one time too. Like I had the mullet and the spiked hair.
Like every teenage hockey player ever.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. It looked good, but I'm not that kid anymore. I've changed. I've changed Duffer.
Like, did you change in 2024? Is this a precursor to the change of 25? Where are we going with this?
No, maybe it's been a continuous change that has just been happening now. And, you know.
Well, you used to have like a cinematic poster, The Rise of Marty Baron?
Yeah, The Rise of Marty. That was a. Kevin James special here in the studio. Great social media stars.
So the sequel to that now in theaters soon is The Evolution of Marty. And that's what you're getting at here. So what should people look forward to from you in 2025?
Oh, the same, I guess.
I mean, we're on tonight at 7:30 if you want to save it for them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about like
probably
I'm not
also
a wild
on at 11:30.
Child. I'm not
really
gonna go crazy. I'm not gonna like start running around, and I'm just gonna stay consistent. I guess that's boring. That's very boring. But that's how I was when I played. I was like, hey, if I can get a 14 save shutout, I like them. Like it's boring, but it works for me. So what about you, Duffer? What can we expect from Duffer in 2025?
The problem is I am the boring, consistent one, which is why your role has to be different than mine, which I laud and applaud when I see it. Right? Like
I'm
want
boring
you to be...
and consistent, but somehow people always remember me in situations where I was drunk and wild, and that happens like once a year. But people are like, hey, remember that night on Chippewa? Remember Marty at, you know, we did this? And I'm like, yeah, that was like once in the last 10 years, but that's how people like they cling to those moments. Or we go to like a road crew party and like, Marty, remember like you were at the bar in Washington after the road crew party? And I'm like, yeah, but that was like the one time that year. Like, it doesn't happen that often.
You are literally this one time at band camp.
Living
example, right? But it's usually more than once. Without divulging any names to protect the innocent, where would your wildest, most fun New Year's Eve have happened in your career?
Ooh, wildest, most fun New Year's
Like, if
Eve.
You're sitting around with the guys, like, quote-unquote best friend JP Dumont from last week's episode, and you're reminiscing. Like, what is likely to, oh my gosh, you remember New Year's Eve in blank?
Anaheim.
Really? Okay.
And
I love that.
That was
okay, good.
Flyers.
You have one. That's okay. Good, right?
But it's like, good because it wasn't me so much that was wild. It's other people around that mm-hmm. got a little crazy. And it was like a call to the trainer at 3 a.m. Hey, you need to come to the room. Somebody had gotten a little bit of a cut and needed some glue to seal that off. But so we played in Vancouver on December 30th. Mm-hmm. And then flew to Anaheim and weren't playing in Anaheim until the 2nd. So on December 31st, it was like, green light, let's go. And we went to Ocean Prime, I think it's called, in Newport yeah. Beach. And had a great dinner, team dinner, went out, had a fun time. And then there was, let's just say, a couple of punches thrown on the dance floor. Was not part of that.
Don't tell me this. I already know this story.
That was the wildest, craziest, like New Year's Eve probably that I've experienced on the road.
Man, there is nothing like the luck of the draw from a schedule itinerary standpoint when you get multiple nights in a great place. We stayed in Vancouver one time for four nights, including after the game that we played. Yeah. We, you know.
So did you go to the Roxy for New Year's Eve that night, or would that
be? No, it wasn't a New Year's Eve. This is just in general.
Oh, for staying in general four
days. This is just in general, yes. But
I can tell you, like, New Year's Eve on the road is fun.
Yes.
But there's nothing more fun than the unexpected. Oh, we have to stay here tonight. Like, we were in Florida one time.
Well, and you had a Nashville one, too, that you've talked about
Nashville
often. Where
one, but we end up leaving, but just later. But Dominic Hasek took us on Broadway from bar to bar to bar as Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff was chasing us, trying to get us back to the bus. But we were in Florida one time, and after the game, we won. After the game, we get on the bus, we start leaving, and then we turn around, go to the hotel, and they're like, there's something wrong with the plane. Can't fly out tonight. So we're like, what do we do now? We ended up finding a Western cowboy type of establishment, country establishment. There was line dancing. There was like that,
Are you good at that?
Oh, I'm so good at it. And I took part of it a little bit, but not because it was line dances I didn't know. But we had one of those moments where, and then every time there's something that happens, players like maybe Jay McKee and others are going to pipe into the group chat and they're going to say, hey, this feels like a broken plane and we got to stay in tonight or whatever kind of situation, because that was the always unexpected, like, oh, got to stay one more night. And then it's, hey, well, we didn't have anything planned tonight, so let's just go have fun. So that's always good. But the Sabres tonight are going to be celebrating New Year's Eve on a plane from Dallas to Colorado. It's going to be a weird situation for them to be like, it's midnight. Hey, okay, let's go.
Well, then they best win. You didn't ask, but I'll tell you anyway. My favorite New Year's on the road was St. Paul. We had a like Hal Gill, Chris Mason, Bagchuk moment. We were coming from Winnipeg, get into St. Paul. Like, we might have actually missed the technicality of midnight. Like, we probably ran into the hotel at like 11:57. Chuck the bags. It's probably minus 30. I'm not kidding. Like, the next day, there were some really, like, I remember there was like a really bad fire in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And just watching on the news, like, as you can imagine, the challenges for firefighters to try to put out a blaze in like that kind of conditions, right? But I remember vividly watching the news, and they had like northern Minnesota wind chill temps in like the range of minus 50 to minus 70 in the state. It was that crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, chucked the bags. We went out. It was just, it was one of those, like, it, and I could sit here and identify like a whole bunch of people who I know were there, and everybody had like their moment where it was like, well, that was ridiculous and fun and nothing stupid at all, right? And then there was just like unexpected kind of, because again, there was time off before the next game, and players were just kind of having a night together at the actual hotel. You know, like, there was like a like a ballroom or whatever, you know, so they just kind of all stayed in. But it was just, and as you know, St. Paul is like as close to my heart as anywhere on the road. Like it feels like home to me. It's a beautiful spot in the wintertime. It's festive and all that and historic. So yeah, it was great. There's some, you know, for years I thought that I had somehow spilled the 4 a.m. pizza sauce.
Oh, no.
On my tie. But it took me a long time to realize that it was actually from the Last Call Bloody Marys.
Oh, wow. That happens.
Which did not go over particularly well with the group that I was with. They're like, why would you ever order this?
Bloody Marys, Last Call. That's a veteran move right there. Let's
no,
it's
a non-veteran
that's gonna
move.
Hit.
It nobody wanted them, and
I'd be all
and
in for that.
That might be why I wore them, as opposed to you know what
they
I mean.
They showered you with the gravy boat after many goals.
Might have
so
been
that's
a self-showering incident. Not sure on that.
Yeah, well,
one,
you know what? You talk about, and I know we're gonna talk about the game tonight, but it's because we're
well,
in the festive
mood. The
game
gets discussed at 7:30 tonight on like the award on the best and last pregame show of 2024. Like these are the promises we can put out there, not necessarily in that.
Tune in MSG 7:30. Enjoy this you know, New Year's Eve affair. I was reminded today of many, many fun times, especially back at the Odd for Tucks and Pucks, which was a like just a staple in Buffalo. New Year's Eve, people showing up in tuxedo and ball gowns, and it was awesome. My very first Tucks and Pucks duffer was in 1995 when I got called up as an 18-year-old, right?
Oh
we
gosh.
Played the New York Islanders in Buffalo on New Year's Eve. We lost 5-2. John Blue was in net. But I remember...
Another of your best friends that I learned about from last week.
Yeah, best friend John Blue. He was in net. We lost 5-2 to the Islanders, and it wasn't a particularly good game. I'm looking at the box score right now. Donald Odette scored. Scott Pearson had scored. Charlie Huddy had an assist. Like, we're talking about teams that struggling a little bit back then with injuries, and Patty LaFontaine was out with injury, and it was like, I think he got hurt later that year maybe, but anyway. So we're talking about the last year of the Odd. So we go. My parents come down for New Year's Eve. They drive down from Quebec. They're at the game. After the game, can't find a hotel room for them, right? Like, so I'm like, okay, you guys can stay in my hotel room. I had one big king-size bed. Let's go grab a bite to eat. You guys go back to sleep. I'm going to go out with the boys or whatever. So we ended up going to TGI Fridays right there at the corner downtown, like by Chippewa. We go there. They go back to the hotel.
You're 18.
I'm 18. I end up at Kix Nightclub. For those that remember Kix Nightclub in the Radisson Hotel by the airport, that's where the boys would love to go out there, right? It doesn't even exist anymore. The Radisson Hotel is there was a restaurant called Pronzo's there. It was amazing. And then it was Kix Nightclub. It was awesome. End up there with Jason Daw and the group, right? Like Barney and those guys, like just having a good old time. I probably got back home at 5 a.m., and back home, I'm talking the old Adams Mark Hotel, right? And whatever it was. And I'm like, oh, sorry for the words. Jeff, make sure you get the button going. I'm like, I have to sleep now, and my parents are in my bed. So at 5 a.m., I got in. I pushed my parents over. I'm like, I got to go to bed, like hammered, you know, like go. I was 18 years old, so yes. So that's what happens.
Wow, Sabres live to close 2024. Maybe the best first.
This was about as close to locker room talk as you'll ever get from me. Like, you know, when you start telling stories and you feel like you're in a safe environment and the language kind of gets going a little bit, like, oops, made a boo-boo here.
I can't wait for tonight. Honestly, this is going to be amazing. How do we get it back on track? How do they, the Sabres, win four in a row for the first time this year?
Yeah.
They've done it on three other occasions when they've had a three-game winning streak. They lost to the Panthers. They lost to Montreal 7-5, which was still hard to believe. And they lost 1-0 to Minnesota. What are you expecting tonight against Dallas, team they beat earlier this year, And how do they win four in a row for the first time?
Well, how they win four in a row for the first time this year is easy for me to sit here and say, this is how you do it. Like, the St. Louis game was not a good game when you look at the numbers. They got outplayed. They got outchanced. You know what? Luukkonen was absolutely fantastic in goal. The Sabres got a power play goal from Tage Thompson, a power play goal from Jason Zucker. It changed, right? You get a call. So, but the key ingredient for me when I look at the Sabres and their success is still, how do you create off the rush? How do you play with such pace that you can create off the rush? I pulled up numbers from the last few games, okay? So let's go back to the game that Lindy Ruff said it was the first game that they felt like, oh, they're playing better. The Boston Bruins game. They lose, well, 3-1 in empty net, 2-1 really. You look at the shot attempts from the slot off the rush, the Sabres had 3. They averaged 7 this year, and they're top 10. And shot attempts from the slot on the rush this year in the NHL. Boston, they only averaged 3. You're not going to, they only had 3. You're not going to score many goals if you only have 3 shot attempts from the slot of the rush. But then you go to the next game against the Islanders.
Can I hit pause?
All of a sudden, say that again.
For 1 sec. Can I hit pause just for one sec? Just to help visualize this for us and our audience. Scoring chances from the slot off the rush.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that, do you automatically envision those being odd man rushes?
Most of them, yes. Like, okay. If you only
because
get two or three
you get
odd man rushes.
On three, yeah. And I don't mean post regulation three. I mean 3-on-3 in the offensive zone. I'm just curious because I'm trying to, you know, give people like a visual to match the numbers that you're talking about. The Sabres are top 10 in this. So when they are going, we're going to see more 3-on-2s and things of that nature. So yeah. Please.
And Lindy Ruff talked about puck management this morning on WGR when he had his moment. And look, I look at the NHL, the statistic that says giveaways. Giveaways is somebody upstairs that marks down, oh, that's a giveaway, that's a giveaway. The Sabres are 7th in the NHL in the least amount of giveaways. So they're not a team that technically, according to the stats, turned the puck over a ton. But we all know by watching the game that that has been a problem. How you turn the puck at your own blue line, you turn the puck in the offensive blue line. And those are the difference between you being able to go on the rush or not. When you turn the puck inside your blue line, that's a rush opportunity you miss. When you turn the puck over inside the offensive zone, that's a rush attempt from the slot that you're going to miss on. So I feel like they go hand in hand. That's the identity of the Sabres. Get scoring, get moving off the rush. So you go from Boston, where there was only 3 shot attempts from the slot off the rush, to the Islanders game, where the Sabres had 6. They had 7 odd man rushes that game, 6 shot attempts from the slot off the rush. But I look at even strength, by the way. We're talking even strength here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, the game was kind of out of control. Like, it was out of reach for the Islanders early in that one. So I'm looking at, okay, you're not taking chances off the rush, but you still got 6. And then Chicago, the Sabres had 16 shot attempts off the rush from the slot. That's the difference. Like, you are at your best when you are going off the rush. St. Louis was the other way. St. Louis, they had 4. So you see, the St. Louis game wasn't a good game offensively. Did you get scoring goals? Yeah, you scored 4. I think Jordan Binnington probably gave up 1 at least bad goal, maybe a second one to Thompson, although it was a good shot. Mm-hmm. So for me, if the Sabres can create off the rush against Dallas, then you know that they're going to get their opportunity. If they are stifled in the neutral zone, they keep turning the puck over, then it's very hard to win games when you're got to divert from your identity.
Yeah, the underlying numbers of the St. Louis game are pretty stark in contrast to most games this year from a shot attempt standpoint. Like Buffalo had well under 30% of the entire shot attempts in the game. That is a very, very low number. And the only games that it was actually close to, the rout of the Islanders, which doesn't count because the game is not score effect close, right? No. And the rout of the Rangers. Mm-hmm. Again, such a huge lead halfway through the game. The rest of it goes out the window, which is why when 20 years ago this conversation started, you were always hearing 5-on-5 close.
Yeah.
Because it has to matter. It has to be a relevant discussion. The game is tied, or is it one goal either way?
Yes.
That's when you measure the details of the game, right?
Yes.
And so it really stood out to me when I was looking at St. Louis going, holy cow. Like, this was like those blowout games. But and then the trick in all of this is to never overanalyze the wins. You take them and you run, right? And you bank them and you try to ascend. And now they're trying for 4 wins in a row, and it doesn't really matter who you beat. It just happens to be they beat the Islanders, they beat the Hawks, they beat the Blues. And even St. Louis, as much as there's things I like about them, and you and Shana kind of rolled your eyes at me at the start of the year because I was kind of bullish that they could make it, and now I still don't know if I believe myself or not. They have 8 wins, 8 losses under Jim Montgomery.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. They're 8-5-3. Did they get a coach bump? Sure they did. But it's not got them in a position where they're likely.
They got Robert Thomas back too, which makes a big difference, right? So
that
he's might have
been the bigger bump.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? All due respect to Monty.
Well, Dallas is a good team.
Dallas is
a really good team, and the Sabres are playing a really good team in Dallas tonight.
Yes.
Look, is Dallas's record as good as I think that team is? No, they're wild card number one. I think the team is better, but they've had some ups and downs, and that's okay. But if the Sabres, listen, this is the weirdest thing about the standings right now. Sabres and the Red Wings play tonight. If the Sabres and the Red Wings both win, the New York Rangers will be last in the Eastern Conference as the calendar turned to 2025.
Editors,
that is
no,
how
this is
incredible
not a surprise.
Things are.
They have 4 wins in 19 games.
Yeah.
The Rangers do.
Yeah. And you watched the game last night. The Rangers, they battled hard. Sergei Bobrovsky was good. They
yes.
tied it at 2. They gave up a goal 3-2. They tied it at 3. If you watched the game last night, you would never have thought that the Rangers have 4 wins in 15 games. And the 11 losses in 19, yeah. They're 4-15. You're right. And they don't have any points in those losses. No.
All regulation.
All regulation losses.
They've gone to overtime once this year.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and you'd think like you'd get to a 1-1 or a 2-2 game at one point because of your goaltending or whatever. But anyway, the Rangers could be last in the Eastern Conference with a Sabres and a Red Wings win. That is something I did not have on my bingo card when it comes to closing 2024.
Yeah. And again, there's no apples to apples in anything really in the NHL. Like, every team has its dynamic, every team has its recent history, every team has its in-season and preseason expectations. The reason we're talking about the Rangers the way we are is how good they were last year. This is unfathomable that they have 4 wins in 19 games and could be at the bottom of the Eastern Conference before the calendar turns. Like, it's mind-blowing. It is absolutely mind-blowing. Anyway,
we're getting some updates for tonight's game, though. Some updates here. Casey DeSmith will be starting in goal tonight against the Buffalo Sabres for Dallas.
I wondered about that. He's 5-2-2 lifetime against Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
The Stars haven't had a back-to-back in like almost a month, and they're not in a back-to-back here for a little while. They're home. I wasn't sure how this was going to play out. I guess maybe because Ottinger lost the earlier game this year, like maybe that's one way of looking at it. But anyway, whatever. Casey DeSmith.
Matt Dumba is back for the first time, so
that's
also
huge.
Something for them.
He's missed 16 games, and it's lined up almost exactly with the absence of Tyler Seguin, who's gone for the year, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean,
with
he
his
could
hip surgery.
Maybe be back long
and
time.
Crazy thing is, Tyler was having a really good year, you know, again. And like, so the Stars don't, they have a lot of guys who are not at the same offensive level as last year.
Yeah.
And Jason Robertson is
Robertson,
one.
Robertson, Stankoven.
Wyatt Johnston is another.
Johnson.
Stankoven has really disappeared from a goal-scoring stand. And
sophomore slump.
Yeah, yeah.
Technically, he's a rookie, but it's his second year because he didn't play the 25 games required, so he's still considered. And he was one of the
Dude
betting favorites
like
to think
NHL
of.
He played 40 NHL games with playoffs last year, but he's still Calder eligible.
But you look at the Calder race this year, it was Celebrini, Michkov, Stankoven, and then now it's Celebrini, Michkov, and that's it, right? Those are the two. Mm-hmm. So anyway, hey, we're getting a lot of really good suggestions for my haircut this afternoon, just so you know. Somebody put, I think it's our good friend in Rochester. I got it right here, but he
analytics?
Put the
James
LGA 585, who does a lot of Rochester Americans highlights
yes,
or whatever.
Yes.
He put a picture of Lloyd Christmas, which is Jim Carrey, basically getting a haircut with the bowl on top of his head, so it's just like straight across. Did that one time for a Halloween party. I was Lloyd Christmas, and Thomas Vanek was Harry. We had the blue and the orange tuxedo. It was awesome. Yep. There's a mullet that's great. There is, the blue mohawk. There's a lot of good suggestion there. A little wild for me, though. I'll say this.
I hope that the ideas keep coming on social and that our terrific crew can somehow incorporate these images for our MSG viewers as we roll on here on Sabres Live.
Yeah, no, it's great. And also the great Blue Dini Duffer.
Yes.
Always chiming in with a great, great thing. He says, Marty, don't worry about the language. As long as you safely navigate, saying tucks and pucks, and you don't mix anything in there, you'll be fine. So thank you, great Blue Dini. That is fantastic.
Amazing. And we want you to arrive in style, black and red, next time out at home, Washington, January the 6th. So there's a T-shirt and ticket pack, and all you got to do is go to sabres.com/blackandred to purchase yours today. It's a great deal, great shirt. Again, sabres.com/blackandred. Tux, pucks, something else after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Broadcast regulators are still reviewing the tape from the first half hour, so we're in the clear to a close of Sabres. I mean,
is it the FCC in the U.S.? I know it's the
It's the basically irrelevant and useless CRTC in Canada, so thank you. Yeah. Anyway, I won't go down that path, but they still frustrate me to no end. Anyway, a wild start to our show in the first half hour and continuing input from our audience on social as to how Marty's hair should look with his new cut tonight, like a mohawk painted blue. Oh, my God, that would be amazing if you rolled in tonight with that.
Somebody said a Sabres logo shaved in one side of the head and 43 on the other side. And I'll tell you this, I won't do anything crazy for today, but when it comes time to Bald for Bucks again this year, now last year I came up with dark brown, like hair completely crazy. I think I may get stuff shaved into my head so that when we shave it, it comes normal again. But I think I may go color and shave different things in there like a kid. Like, you know how kids get that done for like the weekend or whatever? I may do that for Bald for Bucks. I'm getting some great ideas right now.
Will you be able to answer this spontaneous trivia question among our broadcast peers in the last couple of years? The hint is Western Conference. Can you name the former NHLer turned analyst who does regularly wear a mohawk? And it is colored. He might not be on this year. My guess is he's still on there sporadically.
No, I cannot name
Mark
that
Smith,
person.
San Jose, is punk rock Oakland scene.
Yes.
And it's awesome. And
you know, the guy I had in my mind is Darren McCarthy because he wore the red
McCarthy,
like mohawk and goatee against the Shorzy crew. So that's who I was thinking about.
The good poll.
And then I'm
well.
Like, he's not doing TV and it's not Western Conference. So that's, I lost my track.
Yeah. Lots of hockey today. Some of it starting now. Here's one. Will in the NHL's quest to have broadcast exclusivity for the Winter Classic today, starting at 5, allegedly, will we infringe upon the Winter Classic window tonight when our pregame begins at 7:30?
Well, I'm no Pat Hammer, and I don't have a meteorologist degree to back me up, but I'm looking at the map and the projection, and it looks like it may stop raining at about 4:30 in Chicago, some rain and snow mix or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So if I was the NHL, I'd give it a little bit of time. You're not going to go on for warm-up at 4:30 if it's just about to stop raining. You're going to give it another hour. So I think, look, their broadcast window is 5 to 8, whatever. You know, yes, it will infringe. I think that that game probably doesn't start until 6, mm-hmm. unless there's a somebody with really, really big fans out there that's blowing off that rain quickly. And by 3, if by 3 it stops raining, they'll get off at 5. But if it's still raining or snowing at 4, they'll wait a little bit.
You know it's being played in the Windy City, correct?
Yes. But okay. Also, that wind sometimes brings more bad stuff than clears out the rain, right? So,
has the Winter Classic become a regional telecast / phenomenon?
I think it was always, and I'm not saying always because the first one was exciting. And then there was a couple of like, oh, this is cool. But the NHL and the teams that are taking part in it, like St. Louis, we were in St. Louis, Duffer. We saw the old emergency backup, the E-Bug from the St. Louis Blues came and said hi from a few years back. He's actually taking his family from St. Louis to Chicago to go to the Winter Classic. We were in the airport in St. Louis yesterday morning. There were some St. Louis people wearing St. Louis Blues stuff traveling to Chicago to go to the Winter Classic. I think it's great for the teams involved. Mm-hmm. I think the casual fan is going to turn it on, check it out. But people, if you ask me, where was the Winter Classic last year and 2 years ago and who won it? I don't recall it. I can tell you who won the Stanley Cup and what happened. But the Winter Classic is becoming just another game, a bigger game for the regions. Mm-hmm. And for Chicago and St. Louis, it's great. Mm-hmm. When the Sabres were in it, it's awesome. But the rest of the league is like, hey, we have other games. We have other things we're doing on New Year's Eve. I think it's a fun event, but it's way more regional than, you know, any other big events that other sports are doing.
Do you know who's playing tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, on New Year's Day, when the Winter Classic used to happen.
I don't have a clue. I'm looking at today. That's it for me. I don't know who's playing tomorrow.
New Jersey and LA.
That's indoors. The only game tomorrow?
Indoors.
Oh, yes. That's the only game tomorrow. Wow. I didn't even know there was tomorrow. Only one game on New Year's Day.
Exclusivity, baby. Make it national. Drum it up. Let's go. Preview of the Stanley Cup final. What are the odds?
That is weird that they only have one game on New Year's Day, and that is the game that they decide to have.
It's a good matchup.
It is on NHL Network, by the way, for
good
those
matchup.
Who
the Devils are very good. You say this repeatedly.
Oh, yeah.
Los Angeles has been very good. They're 12-4-2 in their last 18 games. Like, pretty good matchup. I hope it gets some attention.
I used to love
it's
playing
get
on New
lost
Year's Day. And I get it. It's not everybody likes it because you'd like to be up a little later on New Year's Eve and be with your family, go to bed at 12:30, and then you have a game the next day. But I can still recall January 1st, 2000, the turn
Toronto,
of the millennium.
Baby.
Oh. I remember because I was living at the old Residence Inn on Maple Road in Wilmsville because I had got called up in late October for the Sabres. Dominic Kashuk was hurt. We started at the Marriott in Williamsville, and then we moved to the Residence Inn. Maxim Finneganov at this place next to mine, Corey Sarich at this place on the other side. We're like all three of us with the loft and everything. It was awesome. My family came in. We had people over, you know, New Year's Eve. It's the new millennium. Woo, it's awesome. Oh, we have a game tomorrow. Let's go to bed. And then the next day, I made 17 saves on 18 shots, and we beat Toronto 8-1. Ingrid Chatan, Miro Chatan's wife, sang the national anthem at Center Ice in an opera-style big gown. It was amazing. Like, I still recall, like, okay. Like, people around the world don't know that we beat the Leafs that day. I remember it, and the fans remember it. It's kind of like, that was our Winter Classic that day. That was a moment that you'll always remember.
Unbelievable. It was only a year and a half later that I started working at Leafs TV, and my primary analyst, one of, was Glenn Healy.
Oh, he got in that game too.
And he could never let that day go. The bloodbath, or like the what was it? What was his phrase for it? It was
6-1 when he got in. It's like he's like, seriously, I gotta go in now. Like, come on, Cujo got pulled. Yes.
Yeah, it was clearly one of the most embarrassing games he'd ever been a part of in his life, and therefore, like, you know, he just couldn't let it go. So anytime Buffalo and Toronto, it was just, you know, very top of mind. That's wild about Miro's wife doing the anthem and all that.
Yeah, she was an opera singer, so she had done the singing before, but that particular day it was pretty cool. The arena was completely pitch dark, right? With one single spot on her at center ice, and then on the Jumbotron, the video scoreboard, they replayed all the fireworks from everywhere in the world. Because if you recall, like on New Year's Eve.
That's right. Yeah.
It's 6 o'clock at night, but in Paris, it's midnight. So the Eiffel Tower has got fireworks, and then there's every hour they're showing it, and they got basically a montage of all of it. It was pretty cool. And yes, that Erik Rasmussen had a hat trick. A couple goals that game. Finneganov had 2 goals. Stu Barnes had a couple goals as well. It was it was a bloodbath.
Keep in mind, this is New Year's Day 2000, right?
Yes.
So you're at that point 6.5 months past beating Toronto in the playoffs.
Yes.
In the only matchup ever in postseason history.
Conference finals.
Between these two. Yes. Like, people need to remember how high the intensity was here, right? Like,
we didn't have a great start to the year that year. We were playing .500 hockey at that moment. The Leafs, like, I look at their record, they were 23-10-6 at that moment. The Leafs had a great start to the season. Like, oh, we'll show Buffalo what we got. And then they came in and we spanked them.
Yep. Amazing. Thank you for that. Those are good
Rob
memories.
Ray and Ty Domi got into what was a fight, but they didn't really call it a fight. They call it a roughing, whatever. It just was, you know.
So, like, what do you expect tonight with Buffalo and Dallas? And we're not expecting any lineup changes for the Sabres. You know, they've won 3 in a row. Again, it's the quest for their first 4-game win streak of the year. You mentioned the fact that there's a lot of other games going on. You can only control what you're doing at this point. And that has to be, and will be, undoubtedly, the mindset going forward. But, like, what do you expect based on having played Dallas earlier this year, whether that's completely irrelevant, how the game went against St. Louis, which is number one, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was, in fact, number one best player for the Sabres, without question.
Yes.
And he'll go again looking for a personal 4-game win streak. So what do you expect tonight?
What I expect is that I have liked what I've seen out of Quinn, his ability to shoot the puck, his quickness, like what he's done. So I expect that the Quinn-Cousins-Paterka line is going to get a favorable matchup. I think if you're Dallas and Pete DeBoer, you're looking at, let's counter Tuck and Thompson and Zucker. Let's really put, like, everything in a hard matchup against them. So Miro Heiskanen, whatever, like, that defense core for Dallas is going to be, you know, paying close attention to Thompson. But then that should free up, in my opinion, that should free up Cousins, Quinn, Paterka to be able to get more. And I want them to have that one game where you say, hey, you know what? We were on the road and we knew that maybe it was going to be tougher for, you know, Thompson and Tuck to produce. You guys came through. That is the key to the success of the Sabres against Dallas tonight.
Okay. Do you think that, and the only reason I'm putting it out there this way is, outside of the Benson, Kulik, Krebs line.
Yep.
Nobody had good analytics against the Blues. Like, all the other lines were like, holy cow, they spent a lot of time giving up shots.
It was 12-5 were the offensive zone possession time after 2 periods. 12 minutes to 5 minutes. That was bad.
Which was a very big number, very noticeable for us. Yeah. So there's a couple ways to look at it. It's really fun, I think, right now, watching Benson, Kulik, and Krebs.
Yeah.
Like, we hadn't seen it before. it seems like they might have something here in a small window and hopefully bigger.
I hope so.
Quinn, on the other hand, has three straight multiple point games.
Mm-hmm.
Kick the analytics for his line to the curb from Sunday. The point is, if you're going to get players of his skill set going, there has to be a belief that he can still do it. And that belief wasn't there, seemingly, for a long time this year. What does three straight multiple point games for Jack Quinn mean to him right now?
Well, it has to feel a lot better, but it shows that, number one, he's paid attention. I have seen so many moments in games where Jack Quinn has the puck at the blue line and could have forced a play or could have tried something that's not there, and he chooses against it. That's number one. Like Lindyrov's going to pay attention to that. You have to. And then you're producing. Yes, he has three multiple two-point games like in the last three games. But he also has 8 points in the last seven games because he had two goals against Toronto in Toronto. And that was his first game back where he scored on a power play. And so you think of it as, okay, I get it. Jack Quinn has had a tough start this season. But his impact offensively could make this team get on a 5-6-7 game streak. If you don't get Jack Quinn, you can't get there. If you don't have Benson, you can't get, if you don't have Cousins, you can't get there. But if you do, then all of a sudden, woo, you know, we won three, we won four. Hey, let's go into Colorado, win five. Let's go into Vegas, win six. Let's come back home, win seven. It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. It seemingly does. Obviously, the record speaks for itself. Three straight two-point games, three straight wins for Buffalo. And, well, we have one opportunity, one final segment where I maybe will get an answer from you to the question, what is goaltender interference?
Oh.
That and some special birthdays when we come back on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, most days on the calendar, we can always find incredible memories and things that break your heart. And it's impossible on New Year's Eve not to think about the great, immortalized in Alumni Plaza, French Connection member, Rene Robert. We lost him 3 years ago on this day. What a piece of Sabres history and Buffalo community Rene Robert was.
Yeah, Rene was awesome. You know, I got to know him a lot more after my career. I got to know Rico when I was playing because he lived in Clarence, not far from where I live. So would have been Rene's birthday today.
Yeah, and, sorry. I messed all that up. Birthday would have been today.
Birthday would have been today.
So
we think of Rene, obviously, and his impact and contribution and everything that he did. But not just as a player, but in the community. Like, he was so involved in the community, mm-hmm. doing a lot of the alumni, you know, goodwill that many of the guys in the area do. But Rene was fantastic with that.
Yeah, he passed in June of 2021 and, you know, born on this date, 1948. How far from Trois-Rivières were you growing up?
About an hour and a half, about an hour and 20 minutes. So, yeah, so Trois-Rivières is exactly between Montreal and Quebec City. So it's right down the middle.
Yeah. Well, tonight it's Buffalo and Dallas. And what if there's goaltender interference? Are we going to know? Are we just going to get out the biggest coin ever and flip it?
Yes, it could have probably been a flip. The Rangers challenged the first one yesterday. They were wrong. And maybe they shouldn't have challenged that one. They should have challenged a 3-2 goal. They didn't because they were worried they were going to get a double minor penalty for being wrong again, which they probably would have been right. But as Lindyrov said, you only know if you challenge. And Peter Laviolette will never know because he did not challenge. The goal was stood, and that was it.
Think of how many minors on this show alone I would have racked up for being repeatedly wrong. We'll see you tonight. Pre-game, 7:30.